Hello, it's Richard Gillis, and welcome to another episode of Unofficial Partner.
There's so much ego in the sports industry,
yeah.
And it was always like, who are you, what do you do? And, you know, it feels sometimes that you go along to these things and you're just like, oh, God, I just want to have a normal conversation with someone.
This week's guests are Claire Parnell, Emma Newell, and Laura Weston, who have helped form a new group called the Mums in Sport Community. I'll put links into the group's social channels in the show notes that go with the podcast. The conversation is wide-ranging. It goes from what it's like returning from maternity leave, going back into the office, what that first day is like, and we talk about whether there is something specific about the sports industry that affects this issue. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Right, here we are at Getty Images headquarters, and I'm going to get our guests to introduce themselves because there's three of them, and otherwise we'll lose track, and I will anyway. So, Emma Newell, tell us what you do and where you are and why we're here.
Hi, I'm Emma. I'm at Getty Images, and I oversee all of the commercial partnerships within Getty's sport and entertainment office. So the type of brands that we work with are a lot of sort of rights holders, agencies, and then sponsors in addition to that group. We're here because we're here to talk about working mothers in sport.
Right. Laura.
Hello. Who am I? So I'm a PR and brand consultant. I sit on the board of the Women's Sports Trust, so very all about pushing women in sport as much as possible. It's a big passion. I'm also on the board of Liverpool Football Club Foundation. And prior to doing this, I was running for 12 years as an MD of a sports and entertainment agency in London.
Which was?
Iris.
Iris, yes, I saw that. My extensive research.
Yeah.
Iris Freud. I've been basically on LinkedIn looking at you all.
Stalking us.
Claire.
Hi, so I'm Claire. I am a communications consultant working in sport. I've had my own business for around 18 months now. Prior to that, I was at Nike working across European director roles of communications. Working in women's sport, joining all the networks, the brilliant momentum that's happening out there right now, but clients include Copper 90, Chelsea Football Club, Premiership Rugby,
Spurs? Spurs on the list?
Spurs are not on the list currently.
Dear Sean, well, this is
great club.
Is it already disappointing? Right, I'm joking. Sean is an obsessive Spurs fan. I'm a mild Spurs fan compared. Why are we here, Claire? Take us through. Let's talk about this group.
So we're here today to talk about the Mums in Sport community. It was kind of kicked off last month, August 2019. It's really a positive, supportive, inclusive community for women who work in sport who are also mums.
Right. What is it? Let's just go around the table then. And Emma, tell us about being a mum, or what was the decision, and you're now at work, you're not, you were, had a baby, blah, blah, blah. Just talk us through that.
So I had both my kids in America. I was working on the 2017 Super Bowl in Houston. And then I came back to the UK, and I remember the call, actually. I was taking a bit of time out, having had sort of 6 weeks maternity leave in Houston. And I got a call from a headhunter asking me if I'd be interested in a job at Getty. And I thought, Getty, okay, that sounds quite interesting. Went for an interview and they sort of hooked me in. And I thought, okay, I'm ready to go back now. And I've been here a year and I'm really enjoying it.
And what was the decision-making process? That's quite a quick return to work.
It was for me, yeah. It was probably a bit earlier than I was ready to go back, if I'm honest. And then as soon as I, you know, accepted the job, it was like, oh my God, childcare, how do we manage this? Two young kids, bit of a nightmare, but kind of figured it out.
Okay. Laura, what's yours?
Well, I've got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. The first baby was fine. I mean, I sort of went through IVF 4 times, so I had to sort of manage that at work, which is always interesting when you're shooting up hormones and trying to keep a level head whilst you're managing your clients. So after all of that, I then have a first baby, and actually the return to work I'd taken a year. I'd gone to a Women in Marketing conference, and Nicola Mendelsohn, who's VP of Facebook, done an amazing chat, and she said, if there's one thing you do when you have a baby, it's take a year. You won't want to take a year. You feel like you want to get back as soon as possible, but don't do it. And I really listened to that. And so I took a year, and it was really good for me. But I really did quite struggle when I went back. And then obviously had to do IVF all again, and then have my second child. And I think it was different the second time, because I think as soon as you have your second, I mean, it's a game changer. And then it's more about, how do I get out? Because this is not, I can't manage this anymore.
Yeah.
So then it was, that's quite stressful in its own sense. It's kind of, well, what do I do now? And for me, mentally, when I was on maternity, I moved to Liverpool and then went into work and said, by the way, I've moved to Liverpool. that was kind of fine.
That was for you were working at Iris.
I was at Iris in London, and then they said, well, you can come back. And I was like, great. So I commuted from Liverpool to London with a 3-year-old and a baby.
Because it was difficult enough.
Because what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? And then at the end of last year, Claire will attest to this, I was a broken woman and realised that I was probably, you know, not being very sensible. But it's like all anything. It's confidence when you have a baby, gets somewhere. I mean, I know the most confident women ever who just still get this shift when you have your children. It's very difficult to make decisions, and you feel like if you move out of a job at that point, you know, will you ever be able to get back in the groove again? It's a really hard thing to explain.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what do you mean confidence in terms of your career, or defining what you are in relation to work? Is that what you
mean? I think it's just a mixture of things. It's and I don't like talking about confidence in women, because it's often a sort of derogatory thing. It's like, we're not confident. Of course we're confident, but it's I think being out of the workplace when you've been in a very senior role, and then when you return, it inevitably is different, and they do treat you a little bit differently. And it's just, I can't think of another expression, but get your groove back, you know. You just don't feel like this, you're not the same woman. So how do you manage those emotions, you know, the guilt, should I be doing this? I mean, I was working, you know, leaving my house at 7:30 in the morning, getting back at 8:00 at night, and, you know, it's just no life.
Then
you start to question all of that.
Claire, what's your story?
So I have a little girl who's 3. She's called Nell. I returned to work after a year's maternity leave, and decided to leave to start my own business. That search for kind of flexibility, and to essentially try and work smarter. 18 months in, I think you go through all sorts of emotions, becoming a mum, your identity and confidence. But one of the reasons why Mums in Sport Community was set up was to provide a really positive space for women who are brilliant, who have years and years of experience and huge value to add to the industry, to be supported and to be celebrated. So the kind of the first brunch happened in August. 20 of us got together.
How did you get the word out? Was that just a formal network?
So 18 months of working for yourself. You go to a lot of industry events and networking, breakfasts, dinners.
Yeah.
You do brilliant workshops with the likes of Women in Football and Women's Sport Trust. You attend Leaders in Sport, which is fabulous, Sport Industry Group. There was an incredible Facebook event for International Women's Day, which is where actually Emma and I had probably the biggest conversation about this kind of concept, idea. And the way I kind of view it is the journey to starting this is that the women's sport is rising.
Yeah.
For many years, the three of us around this table and undoubtedly hundreds of other women who work in the sport industry have attended events that the men to women ratio is not equal.
Yeah.
So the big shift I've noticed over the last 18 months or so is there's more women in that space.
Yeah.
And you get talking to those women and you're there super early and you're smiling away.
Yeah.
Or you're, you know, you've got a 7:30, 8 o'clock dinner and you're smiling away.
Yeah.
Or actually the reality is it's really tricky to get out of the house in the morning super
yeah.
early. It's really tricky to negotiate or kind of organise pickups. You are away from the home a lot. It's brilliant when you get there, but there's a kind of trail of destruction often left to make it. So it was those kind of shared conversations about this is brilliant, we absolutely should be here and in this space, but it's not always easy to get there.
Yeah.
And how about we get people together that are like-minded in this similar situation where you're not apologising and
yeah.
you're really happy to be there. And so that's the kind of where it originated from. For every conversation I had with Emma, I had several others. And actually, you think, well, when you're not a mum, you don't realise who are the mums in
yes.
the industry.
Yeah.
But actually, when you're a mum and you're kind of a little bit more... You kind of have the stories of other mums who are also, other women who are also mums in the sport industry. So I kind of started writing a list of these women and thought, right, I'm definitely going to get a brunch together or something. So yeah, we're going to get a gathering.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, I'll do it at the end of season before Women's World Cup. Then I got a client over Women's World Cup completely chucked.
It was getting away early.
Right? It was a great client, if they're listening. So that kind of fell by the wayside a bit. And so I made a promise coming out of the World Cup to absolutely get this started before the new football, rugby, which sports season kicks off. So I kind of had this master list, started inviting people. And the engagement and relief was like so evident in the email responses. Yes, I've been waiting for the, you know,
yes.
I went, can I do anything to help? What can I do to help? Can you,
yeah.
you know, how he did it. And so it kind of really grew. And so by the time we all came together on that morning in August, everyone was so pumped about it. And so happy to be there. And just little things like, it wasn't 8 a.m. and it wasn't
yeah.
an evening. It
yeah.
was 9:30 brunch in
yeah.
central London to make sure that everybody could make it, that could make it. So we had 20 very senior women in the sport industry, really diverse roles from agents to MDs, sales, in-house agency, former athletes,
all the TV
consultants,
presenters.
TV presenters. Yeah. It was such a great buzzing.
And
few
what was the format? Did you have was there an agenda that you set beforehand, or was it something you thought we'll just meet and see what happens?
Yeah, so we were very kindly donated a private dining room in Soho. In a place called Quo Vadis. And so the room was beautiful. And it was very relaxed, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a really nice event.
Mm-hmm. Everybody
good
kind
people
of
there.
Everybody came along, not stressed, because it was 9:30, it wasn't 8 a.m. And the room kind of took a natural, you know, into your areas. I kind of did a table plan to make sure that it was a great chat, but there was also some value in terms of growing your network at the same time. So it's about getting people together. It's about supporting each other. There was people in the room that hadn't gone back to work yet, who were still on maternity leave. So
yeah.
kind of pairing those people up with people who were kind of perhaps more pros in
yeah.
helping them and giving them guidance into how to navigate the great comeback.
So, I mean, I've got a lot of questions. What's it like? What's the first day like when you come back? When you go back into the office, what's... 'cause that feels like a moment.
Really scary. Yeah, because you're constantly thinking about your kids. What are they doing now? Who have I left them with?
Yeah.
You know, even I walking to work yesterday, I thought, my kids are with a nanny who's amazing, but I've only known her a year.
Yeah.
You know, so there's always that sort of worry at the back of your mind. And just always trying to do the best that you can. I think women are always trying to over-deliver.
Yeah.
They really are, and as a result, we do amazing work.
Yeah. So, and is that the same? Did you find that?
Yeah, I think I was pretty excited on my first day back, actually. I think after, you know, spending... Because I'd taken a year, I was, like, quite excited about adult company and not watching Loose Women and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, I was, like... Getting back to the land of the living. Yeah. I remember reading the Evening Standard for the first day and I was like, look at me, I'm back. I'm wearing like normal clothes and everything. So it was really fun. I think I struggled then with just the makeup of how the team had changed and, you know, and people sort of vying for my position. And I felt...
So you felt the competition.
Yeah. And that was very difficult. It was kind of like, you haven't been here for a year. Yeah. We're fine. We don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
You know, when you'd sort of built the business,
it's
very difficult, very, very difficult. And then that sort of hit me with a bit of a bang, I think, fairly quickly. So
yeah.
I didn't really know how to navigate that. It was the first pitch I did when we got back. It was for Speedo. And, you know, I was trying to sort of get my old buzz back around pitching really get myself together. And then the team were like, well, we don't do it like this anymore. And, you know, so I was trying to sort of exert control, but it was a lot of pushback. It was really hard. It was really hard. And I sort of realised I needed to change the way I worked now. And yeah, it was a lot.
Do you think there's a, because that's the sort of stuff that is, you've got the formal regulations, the process, you know, the HR aspect to this conversation. And then you've got the informal sort of norms around the groups and things. It's quite, can something happen to, is that inevitable, do you think, in terms of that shift? Because you're going to have egos and ambitions in the group that you leave behind, you're going to come back in, it's going to be competition. I'm just wondering how that, whether that's inevitable, whether it's just an education of people who are younger, don't have kids and don't understand the stresses, or it's blokes who are looking to take advantage. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think it's inevitable necessarily. It depends on personalities and things like that. But I think what doesn't help is that there's not a lot of people to look up. Well, certainly for me, I was one of the most senior women in the organisation. So there was no one for me to look up to sort of help me navigate it. So, you know, you couldn't. There was no advice. There was nothing. It was almost just like, right, get back to work. And all my boss kept saying is, like, we're really worried about, you know, we don't want to demotivate your team, you know, and you don't want it, so you've got to be careful. And I was like, no one asked me how I was, you know, what, you know, how I was fitting back in, what I needed. It was all about, you need to make sure that you're not upsetting them. And I was like, oh. So I don't think it's not inevitable, because I think every team comes with different consequences. But I think what I ended up writing a parent pack for the whole agency around how to deal with coming back, making sure that you have a mummy mentor, which sounds naff, but you know what I mean, someone who you can go out for lunch with, to make sure that the agency take time to take you back through the last year and actually what's happened, which new clients are there, who are the new people, just simple things that make you feel like you can relax back into it, and that also people have actually acknowledged that you have had quite a shift and you are back. And then maybe I think what would have been even better is then I actually went and got myself an external mentor to help me navigate, you know, well, what does this new role look like now and how do I work in it, and what does that mean? And she was brilliant for helping me completely shift my direction of where my career was going, which was helpful.
I think it's about finding the champions as well where you are, who can support you on that journey.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really lucky, my boss has been really supportive. So on those days where I need to go to a sports day and there might be something big happening at work, he's like, take the time you need, Emma. Whatever you need to do, family is important and it comes first. And maybe that's not the same in, you know, every company, but here, just off the back of this group, I've been talking to some of the other mums at Getty and trying to create a similar kind of support network where we can go out for lunch, have a bit of a moan, you know, about, you know, kids at home or partners not doing enough at home, which is usually the case. I think it's a really good opportunity for mums to come together.
What's your sort of Is sport different? Is there anything particular about sport? I mean, listening to you, Laura, talking there, I really recognise, I've just worked in an agency, and I was quite struck by the level of interpersonal competition there is within an agency. Mm. And I'm wondering if I've been a journalist, and that's pretty competitive, but it wasn't the same environment. I'm wondering if it's about agencies and just the nature of that world. Is there anything about sport specifically? And I was wondering about it's the Saturday weekend, it's evenings, it's the hours, and it's all of that. Is there something that around either of those that is specific to the problems that or the challenges that your group face, do you think?
I think in sport you have the athlete and the industry. So a real ignition point for me was seeing Serena Williams' comeback and that being celebrated, and her being really quite honest and transparent with it not being always easy on the outside. I think from a women who work in the sport industry perspective, I think the champion of the growth of women's sport currently enables us to shine a spotlight on everybody who works in the sport industry. And we really see this group as a positive group, and an honest group, but not to dwell on the challenges or the negatives, because actually that happens in every industry. It's flipping the mindset and saying, how do we support each other, enable each other, bring value to the network and the community, keep it growing, inspire others, and bring people together. As women's sport grows, so too should the spotlight on brilliant women who work in the sport industry that aren't the athletes who have the headlines, but are really quietly working all hours, evenings, weekends, always on call, 24/7, sport doesn't sleep. And just being a support for them, it's brilliant. The best communities grow without kind of, you know, set rules. So one of the points that I made on the first brunch was, this can be whatever we want this to be. Mm-hmm. Communities grow through the community growing it. Mm-hmm. And just really kind of simple logistics. Is it a social media account? Is it a WhatsApp group? Is it an email? An email kind of chain, and we don't have the answers yet because we're super super young in what this community is going to be, but already the kind of natural fall in has been to just keep this email chain going. And it's a fascinating email chain now, so it's all about supporting each other. One of the women has a new radio show on BBC London. Who can bring guests and talking points to her? Well, this group of women are so well connected in the industry, working on stories, sporting events, working with athletes. Isn't this a great source to be able to support her? Getty have a women's sports event coming up. You know, would everybody like to attend? Sport industry group private dining. Who's free and would like to come? So it's really all about enabling and adding value to everybody in a really simple form.
What's the sort of? Is there one thing that you think is keeps coming back to you, think, okay, that's something you could change, or organisations could change, or people in positions of power within organisations could alter? So Sean has given me I just tapped on the table. It's my
Stop tapping. Morse code.
Jimmy Warra was very bad. He's a bad tapper, wasn't he? But anyway, Sorry. So is it? Yeah. Was there? Is there? Do you think? Is there something that is that? What are the threads that come back to you on the email chain?
Finding role models, I think, to your point earlier about not having any role models when you're going through that tough time at work, and people that you can relate to. There are a lot of working mothers out there, but you're not aware of a lot of them. And I think to walk into that group and we have that brunch and think, wow, these women all have kids.
Yeah.
We've all got something in common. It was fantastic. And listening to all their stories of all the things they've had to juggle. You know, the TV presenters talking about breastfeeding on the way to covering a football game. I mean, seriously, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
But these women are just getting on with it day in, day out.
Yeah. It's interesting, the honesty thing. A few of you mentioned that word. And just in terms of the, I'm always a bit struck when you go, and I think it's inevitable in every industry, but when you go to do's or... There is a sort of, you put on a face, don't you? People will say, well, how are you? Everything's great, you know.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Yeah, brilliant. And how's work? Brilliant. Everything's fantastic. And it's all a bit, you know it's fake. You know they're lying and you lie as well. You know, you put on, because if you were honest all the time, people would run away. They would
So you want to tell us?
Yeah, I'd just think, you know, I was a complete failure and essentially unemployed. And they might have a point, but the owning up or the sort of revealing that personal bit at work is quite difficult. I think that feels like a central bit of this.
Mm.
That group feels like a where you can open up. Maybe that's the bit that we're sort of centering on.
I think that's a really good point. And I think one of the other bits, I think particularly for the sports industry, is it does feel impenetrable sometimes. You know, I know, like Claire's saying about doing loads of networking, and I've always really struggled with that, if I'm honest. You know, just going along, I always felt like it was an ego. There's so much ego in the sports industry.
Yeah.
And it was always like, who are you? What do you do? And, you know, it feels sometimes that you go along to these things and you're just like, oh, God, I just want to have a normal conversation with someone, you know. And and particularly because so much business is done through networking, which is something maybe as a, I don't know whether this is about me being a woman or just me being a bit blind to it, but I definitely spent the last 20 years with my head down thinking, if I just work as hard as I possibly can, everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Without realising that actually to make your life easier, the best thing you could be doing with your time is just talking to people and meeting people and getting out there, because I've positively done that in the last year and it's made such a big difference to my life.
So good.
And I think now I feel like I can do it, although I still feel really nervous about it. It's great to be, this is why this group's important, because if you are feeling like that, like, oh, I don't really want to go across, I can't afford to go to a leader's or something like that, and it's generally, I know they're trying to change it, but it generally is full of loads of blokes who've worked in sport all their lives and they know each other. It does feel, as a woman, even as a 42-year-old woman who's pretty confident, quite nerve-wracking. So I think if we can do anything to help younger women not have the experiences that we've had, and we can use this networking group as almost like a template of what networking could look like for women and men. Because not all men are like that.
Yeah.
And actually, most people aren't. You know, they just want to be relaxed and have a normal conversation.
Yeah.
And wouldn't we get a bit further if that was what life was, you know, rather than this sort of bravado of, you know, which is definitely, I think, emphasised within sport.
There is a sort of particular type in that sort of sports conference and you know, across all of them. And it's like a bit like, I always look across, you know, and see, it's almost like a sort of, there's a sale on at Ted Baker. Yeah. In narrow, they're all in navy blue and white shirts, and they've got very sort of, you know.
Used to play rugby.
Directional.
And,
you know, bloody passionate, you know, bloody love sport. And then you know, sort of, there's that looking over your shoulder bit, isn't there, about, you know, someone more of a higher status coming in the room or whatever.
Exactly.
Which, and that's almost like, I'm wondering if, this is one for you, Emma, probably, because you worked in America. Is it the same in America? I always thought it would be either is it worse in the States, or have we inherited that sort of salesy, always on marketing culture from over there? I don't know.
It's interesting, because when I was in Houston, we didn't really have a strong networking culture within the sports industry. There were pockets of agencies that did that kind of work. But on the whole, there weren't really any events that you could go to, so you did feel that you were a little bit isolated. You know, I was sort of a European on a very American team working on the greatest sporting event in the US. And I've found that I've suffered from a bit of discrimination because I wasn't from the South, you know, the deep South. I was female. What does she know about NFL football? So, you know, the female part, the fact that I wasn't a big NFL fan, there were a lot of things sort of at play there, which made me think I've got to work even harder, which I did. I worked my absolute socks off. I really enjoyed it, but it was tough.
And what's I'm just going to sort of point you towards, what can people do? So people listening to this podcast, obviously a hugely influential senior audience, massive audience.
Growing week on week.
We have statistics. If there are people listening, mums at home or mums at work listening, what can they do? Do you want them to get in touch? What's the next step of this thing? Because I know it's in its early iteration, but you could get flooded with people wanting to get involved.
Yeah, it was quite interesting, actually. After the first event, several of us posted on social media that this has happened. And I don't think inundated is an understatement on women who are also mums reaching out, saying, how can I get involved? When's the next one? And I very kind of casually saw this as, you know, we'll do a pre-season and we'll do an end of season. And even in the room, on the first event, people were like, no, it's too long to wait. We need something sooner. Let's do, you know, and can we do it monthly? Let's do November. So we've kind of landed on a November. Early planning stages. But there's a waiting list almost of women. And it's a bit of a, again, you know, the community will grow how the community wants to grow. But is this a community which grows, or is it something that's more kind of intimate and there's a where it goes, it will go. The next event will be in November. We're talking to the Albright Club about hosting us. There is a considerable increase in the guest list than the 20 who joined us for the first one. If somebody, only two people couldn't come to the first one that were invited, and you could really feel they were on holiday, they're out, genuinely out of the country, they were really sad, but they both very kindly put forward another mum in their network that worked in sport. Already it was being fueled by kind of like-minded, supportive, inclusive women, which is, it has the potential to be a really magical community, and focusing on the positives and supporting each other. What does it look like? How do people get involved? We're looking at kind of a social media, Instagram and Twitter, which we'll share.
So we could put that in the, if we sort of, after the podcast, we could point people towards you, or?
I think so, yeah, absolutely.
I think one of the things that'll come out of it, I think whenever you get women together, you sort of convene them together, you suddenly find so much insight. So we will find some, probably more of the answers to your questions the more we meet, because people will find out what are those things that are constantly frustrating, or, you know, and then you can start to work out, well, okay, so if that's constantly happening to people, if that's a barrier, what do we do to make a difference, and how do we stop it? You know, I think that will naturally happen, but I suppose you don't want it to become too earnest. You know, anything that's around women seems to quickly turn into, you know, we're earnest and we have to make a difference and we need to, you know, rather than just actually sometimes, you know, just chilling out in each other's company and having a laugh. Yeah,
it's interesting that, isn't it? The sort of that, it's true that you know, when people say, oh, it's a campaign of some sort.
Yeah.
You know, they want to frame it. And I guess my questions were pushing you in that direction as well. But sometimes you sort of think, no, just leave things alone.
Yeah.
Just let it evolve.
We don't have to solve the world's problems just because we're a group of women getting together. We obviously probably could.
Of course.
Quite quickly. Let's put us in government, we'll be fine.
I think the joy of the first event was the genuine discussion that happened around the table. And I think I speak on behalf of everybody. I think everybody left that day feeling a bit lighter.
And a
bit happier, and that you know that they are inspired, and it's okay, and it is tough being a mum and working. It's tough, therefore, being a mum and working in the sport industry and the diverse roles that everybody brought with them that day. But by surrounding yourself with like-minded, brilliant people, you just have a lift and you just feel more confident.
Is it? I mean, again, it's quite often framed as a you know. I'm wondering whether or not motherhood makes you better at work, and how it makes you better at work.
Yes.
What do you bring to the job that you didn't have before you had kids?
I think you're more focused and you spend less time on the stuff that's not going to drive results. You really do look at your to-do list every day and go, is it really worth spending time? The downside of it is you're probably less available to have a chat with people wandering around the office and going, how's it going today? Because you're thinking, I need to get through all my stuff and be out the door to get home and, you know, be with my kids. So I think we're just very good at multitasking. I think we have to be.
Yeah, I think you become so efficient, so focused, and you know we mustn't forget that the value that we bring on so many levels. Be that as a role model to other women, women considering having children, stepmoms, fathers, bosses, interns. You know, the whole landscape of an organisation, you make an impact, and they're, you know, hugely experienced women really add impact and value in the workplace. We need to keep them in the workplace and enable them to flourish and be supported by each other and by their organisations.
We did it on, I think it was Jackie Fast did a blog post for us, and she had a graph of the income level and the financial hit that women take post-childbirth. I mean, that's the sort of stark reality of that is it does disrupt a career, presumably. That's the, you know, unless... I don't know how there is a... Is there a route through that? Is that something that was discussed?
I think you just... It's very different for every woman, and you've got to make your own decisions depending on how you want your life to work. And so, you know, and arguably it's probably a bit easier after your first baby that you kind of got one in childcare and that's fine. I think once you've got two, you do start to question yourself a little bit more around, God, you know, well, not only because it's the most expensive thing in the world having two children in childcare, but I think you also, and maybe this is also my slight midlife crisis that I did have at 40, classically, that you start to go, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
You know, actually, what's the point in having these gorgeous children if I'm not going to see them, or if I'm literally on a train from 7:30 till 8 o'clock at night? So then it becomes about how the hell do I find the balance? You know, what? So my life at the moment, I'm starting to try and find a balance that I can work 3.5 days, but I really, really want to be there to pick my kids up from school at least some of the days. I want to be able to go to teacher meetings. I want to see other mums and dads at school. I want to be part of the school community. I don't want to be, you know, just dropping them off and picking up. But it's different for everybody, and everyone's circumstances are differently. It's not financially viable for me to continue to do what I'm doing at the moment, so I kind of need to work out the way of doing it, but I'm committed to try and find, because I'm getting so much joy out. I was talking to a friend about it last night. I love picking my little boy up from school at, you know, 3 o'clock. It's one of the best things, and why the hell would I give that up? You know, I can't do it every single day, but I do. It does bring me so much joy, so I kind of want to find a way through it. And you know, for some people working full time can work, but for me it really didn't anymore. I just realised I wasn't having a life outside of the office, and frankly I'd done it for 20 years, and you know, but financially it does have an impact, and also because it depends on what your partner does and all that, you know, it can be hard.
I think to that point, the group that certainly kind of kicked Mums in Sport community off we're really diverse and really varied in that sense. Mm. And some, you know, are still working the crazy hours and travelling, and that's brilliant, and they make it work. Mm. Some have shifted from, you know, agency or in-house or permanent to consultant or flexible working, and that's brilliant because it works for them. I think what centres us all is that sense of we're in this together, and we are overnight a community, a brilliant community. It's such great feeling to be a part of something like this.
Yeah.
That whatever your definition of being of being a mother, being a woman, being a working mother in the sport industry is, you have people around you to support you. There's no right and wrong in this. And also, it doesn't stay still, right? So what you think might work for you now will look very different in 6 months, 9 months, a year from now, longer. I think it's about bringing people together to try and make people happier and where they are now and okay with their choices, absolutely. Because although it's different for everybody, you are brought together because you're a mum.
Brilliant. That's a great place to finish off. So thank you very much. Sounds like a fantastic group. Good luck with it. I hope it grows and in any way you want it to. So Emma Newell, Claire Ponnell and Laura Weston, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Sean Singleton, the publisher of Unofficial Partner. I hope you enjoyed that episode of the podcast. As ever, to make sure you never miss a future episode, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We are really pleased to see our audience grow week on week, but still we want to reach as many people as possible. Therefore, it really helps us if you can give us a review and rating on iTunes. Many thanks in advance. And please check our website, unofficialpartner.com, and sign up to our newsletter. Take care. Cheers.